Could cyclospora explain your patient's persistent summer diarrhea? Find out about this and more in today's Peer Direct Medical News Podcast. I'm your host, Senior VP Medical Director, Dr. Tim Wright, coming to you once again from the Pioneer Valley in Western Massachusetts. Here are today's stories. The ongoing cyclospora outbreak provides an important reminder that prolonged diarrhea during the summer months should prompt clinicians to broaden the differential diagnosis beyond viral gastroenteritis. Cyclospora is a protozoan parasite transmitted through contaminated fresh produce. Unlike many other foodborne pathogens, person-to-person transmission does not occur, and routine stool studies may fail to detect the organism unless specific molecular testing or ovine parasite examination is requested. Patients typically present with watery diarrhea lasting for weeks, often accompanied by fatigue, abdominal cramping, anorexia, and weight loss. Symptoms may improve temporarily before recurring if left untreated. The current outbreak has already resulted in thousands of confirmed and suspected cases among multiple states, with fresh produce identified in several investigations. For clinicians evaluating patients with persistent diarrhea, particularly during the summer months, obtaining a careful dietary history and specifically considering cyclospora may help avoid delayed diagnoses. Once identified, trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole is highly effective and can dramatically shorten what could otherwise be a prolonged illness. In our next story, we learned that family-based behavioral treatment for childhood obesity has demonstrated efficacy in specialized centers, but questions have remained regarding implementation within routine primary care. A randomized clinical trial published in JAMA Pediatrics evaluated more than 700 children with obesity across 41 pediatric practices. Children receiving structured, family-based behavioral treatment in addition to enhanced standard care achieved significantly greater reductions in body mass index than those receiving enhanced standard care alone, with benefits maintained 6 months after completion of intervention. Importantly, the study demonstrated that evidence-based obesity treatment can be successfully integrated into community pediatric practices caring for geographically and socioeconomically diverse populations. The intervention relied on repeated family engagement, behavioral counseling, nutritional guidance, and physical activity support rather than pharmacology alone. These findings reinforce current recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatrics, while providing practical evidence that intensive behavioral treatment can be delivered within primary care. The study offers a scalable model for expanding access to effective childhood obesity management. And finally, as the number of available GLP-1 receptor agonists continue to expand, treatment selection is becoming increasingly complex. A new systemic review and network meta-analysis published in Diabetes, Obesity, and Metabolism analyzed 19 randomized clinical trials involving more than 13,000 adults with overweight or obesity. Rather than evaluating weight loss alone, investigators compared therapies using a composite cardiometabolic index incorporating body weight, glycemic control, blood pressure, weight circumference, and lipid parameters. High-dose GLP-1 receptor agonists demonstrated the greatest overall cardiometabolic benefit, but meaningful differences emerged between individual agents. Some therapies produced greater reduction in body weight and LDL cholesterol, while others appeared to provide stronger improvements in glycemic control and blood pressure. Although these findings are based on indirect comparisons rather than head-to-head trials, they suggest that future prescribing decisions may increasingly be guided by individual cardiometabolic profiles rather than weight reduction alone. As additional oral and injectable GLP-1 therapies enter clinical practice, a more personalized approach to treatment selection may become increasingly important. And that's today's medical news. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Peer Direct Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to Sean Mullen, Norm Dion, Miriam Gomez, and Bryce Sadie for production assistance. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.